Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Focus on the Upstate, a pre-recorded production dedicated to informing you about organizations that serve our community and how you can get involved with them. Here's your host, Matthew Causey.
Good morning and welcome to Focus on the Upstate. I'm your host, Matthew Causey, and today we have special guest, Macy Adams, the Voting and Public Policy Coordinator with Disability Rights South Carolina. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, definitely. So just starting off getting into this, could we just get a quick introduction of yourself and the organization that you're with and what y'all do over there?
Absolutely. So I run our voting programs that encompasses everything from monitoring our elections to make sure that they are ADA compliant, to community outreach, to trainings with people with disabilities so that they know what their rights are and how to access them. I work for Disability Rights South Carolina. We are a statewide nonprofit. Our work is to build a society where all people, regardless of type or severity of disability, can exercise their right to vote independently and privately. Voting is just one part of what we do at Disability Rights. We advocate for the civil rights of people with disabilities in all spheres, from education to housing to healthcare and beyond.
So before we get right into the voting side of things that you're focused in, can we tell a little bit more about when was this organization founded and why was that?
Disability Rights South Carolina was founded in 1977. We were formerly known as Protection and Advocacy. We serve as the protection and advocacy system for South Carolina. The Protection and Advocacy Program is a federal program, meaning that we are a federally mandated nonprofit. PNAs are the only legally based advocacy organization established by Congress to protect the rights of all individuals with disabilities. As a nonprofit organization, we help people through understanding and defending their rights, and we provide a variety of services, including client assistance, training, abuse and neglect investigations, legal assistance, and advocacy at the state level for policy change.
And I know this next question is probably going to sound a little general, but over these past years, how effective have y'all been and how successful have y'all seen your efforts in meeting some of these different goals that you've had for improving accessibility around the state?
So we've been busy at work across all these different areas. We've been very happy to help, like, for example, in employment, we played a big role in getting the sub-minimum wage law passed. That law allows people with disabilities to be paid fairly at the same rate as non-disabled people. So we have one thing that we have done, we've hosted a transition summit, which included over 20 people from 11 entities to discuss transition issues in South Carolina. We are a big convener. We try to, we have been very successful in gathering entities from across the state that serve people with disabilities. And act as a convener to say, here's our issues, how can we work together to change things? One of the things that we have done in the past couple of years, we've published a new comprehensive report in collaboration with the Institute of Medicine and Public Health here in South Carolina. That report is called Opportunities for South Carolina to Strengthen Home and Community-Based Services for People with Disabilities. This all revolves around the Olmstead decision, which was a Supreme Court case saying that people with disabilities should be treated in their communities. It's basically a decision saying that instead of housing people in institutions, the best way to deliver services is in their community. So we work a lot on that report and with Able South Carolina, a close partner, on trying to make sure that people can live in the communities that they choose to and still receive services so that they...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Can live rich and full lives.
Wonderful. Well, turning over to the Voting in My Rights campaign that y'all have started, can you tell me a little bit more about that initiative and what brought that about?
Absolutely. So Voting is My Right. It's a statewide campaign, and it's aimed at breaking down the barriers to voting for people with disabilities. The campaign promotes voter registration, voter education, and voter encouragement. We know that when we know what our rights are, we're more likely to use them. And so our goal with this campaign is just to kind of spread the word about, hey, people with disabilities, we have the right to vote. And even though there are some barriers to voting, we can work together to break those down and have our voice be heard and counted.
So what exactly brought about the initiative itself? What was the sparking incident that, or the sparking idea to why this was important to start up?
Yeah, so we know that from a 2020 report from the U.S. Election Assistance Commission that one in seven voters with disabilities encounters difficulty while voting. That data is from the 2020 election. And that's despite early voting and expanded access to mail-in voting. We also know that voter turnout for people with disabilities is lower than the non-disabled population. And that's the same in South Carolina as it is on the federal level. So knowing those two data points, we thought it would be a good idea to invest in this info campaign to spread the word, to help people know what their options are when it comes to voting, to try to up those numbers, to try to get more people with disabilities at the polls.
So speaking of which, I know that you mentioned at the start of this discussion about one of the things y'all do being making sure that polling places are ADA compliant. Can you tell me a little bit about what that means and what those regulations are?
Yes. So under Title II of the ADA, all public buildings must be accessible to people with disabilities. Through our work with the Election Protection Coalition, we do a lot of monitoring. What that means is we train volunteers. We go out on election day and using a checklist from the Department of Justice on how our polling places are supposed to be set up, we evaluate them. We look at things like parking lots. We look at access routes into the building. We look at how our poll managers are treating our people with disabilities. And then we use that data to see, okay, like, how are we doing as a county? How are we doing as a state on getting our polling places up to code so that people with mobility, vision disabilities, any kind of disability, can be welcome and access the vote privately and independently.
And how is South Carolina doing in those efforts up to now?
We're doing okay. I would say that there's been a lot of improvements over the past couple of years. I want to shout out our State Election Commission. They have been really investing in training counties better on ADA issues. However, we still have some work to go. In our data, we find between 30 and 40% of polling places in the counties that we are monitoring, and these are big counties too. We're not talking necessarily the rural ones, but the more what we would consider affluent counties like Charleston, Greenville, Richland, we're still finding that about between 30 and 40% of the polling places we monitor are not accessible. So that's something that I think that we as a state still need to work on.
With Greenville specifically, how is Greenville looking in that ranking?
Okay. So in our monitoring work in the past two elections, so this would have been November of 2023, and then some of the primaries in this past February, we found that about 35% of the polling places that we visited were not accessible to all voters, or they don't comply with the federal laws.
Is there any particular areas in Greenville that seemed worse than others in that regard, or was it a general across the board?
So we find it's pretty general across the board. It depends on where you're going. So our polling places are decided by the county, and the county, you know, has to use what they have in the community. A lot of times they'll use a school or a government building, which are usually better about being ADA compliant. But then sometimes we use churches or community centers, and those don't have to follow ADA laws because they are private buildings. So usually it's a mix. It's a mixed bag.
So what is the steps forward then in helping to correct some of those issues around the state and Greenville specifically? What efforts need to be taken to improve that situation and make things more accessible?
Yeah, so I think a big part of it, and this is something that we do here at Disability Rights, a big part of it is training our poll, our election boards in the counties. We've had a lot of turnover. A lot of new people are now working our elections. And so I think a lot of it is training, letting people know, like, hey, here is the requirement. Here's what we need to do. And here's how we can fix it, you know, because it's totally understandable that a polling place, that is a church, may not have a ramp that works, but there are temporary solutions to that, to providing a temporary ramp, et cetera. So a big part of it, I think, is training. We do a lot of outreach because you just don't know what you don't know, that kind of a thing. But once we find that once we do talk to county boards and show them from the perspective of somebody with, say, a mobility issue or a or who might be blind, once we show from their perspective how an inaccessible polling place can really prevent you from casting your ballot, we find that people are like, okay, this is important. Let's work to fix it. So I think one part of it is training, having people think from the perspective of somebody with a disability. And then the other half would be probably on the state level. We hear that our counties could use a little bit more funds for infrastructure fixes. But yeah, I'd say it's probably a twofold. Like, I think the state could help our counties out on that front with funding, and then also better training of our poll managers to understand why ADA setup is important.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So back on the campaign itself a little bit, can you tell me a bit more about some of the initiatives and efforts that y'all have taken in these recent years since starting the campaign to help improve some of these situations?
Yeah, so we've invested a lot in digital advertising. We've been trying to reach the younger generation. I think a lot of people who work in voting, not just on the disability side, that is a huge undertaking, is trying to reach the younger generation, let them know that they do have rights, that they are, you know, they do have the right to vote, and that it's important that they use it. So a lot of digital advertising. We have generated a brand new website on the disability rights website landing page just for voting that answers all the questions that you can possibly have. And it also assists you in finding out how to register to vote, how to find your polling place, how to find out what's on the ballot. We've really tried to make it a one-stop shop for voters. We've also invested in new brochures and other educational materials that we've been sharing with all of our community partners. It's an awesome little brochure called Voting Is My Right, and you open it up and it has all the info you can need about from registering to finding your polling place to reporting problems if you experience any on election day. So just like really upping our training, upping our outreach efforts in person and online. And then you have those new materials that we are really proud of and happy to share with anybody.
So you mentioned in-person stuff as well. What kinds of in-person information and events have y'all held in getting this kind of information out there to people?
Yeah, so we're a big fan of partnerships, and we really lean into our community partners to help with events. One group here in the Lowcountry where I live, Accessibility South Carolina, we partnered with them on civic engagement, quote-unquote parties, where we will have food, we'll have maybe a speaker, we'll have trivia about civics and voting, and we just encourage people to come out if they need help registering to vote or if they have questions. We have people there who can answer them. So we've been doing those kind of fun civic engagement parties. And then again, yeah, a lot of outreach to counties trying to have one-on-one conversations with different county elective representatives, encouraging them to participate in our ADA training. Because once we sit down with people and we explain our positions and why this stuff matters, we really do see results. I want to highlight Dorchester County. Their election staff was very welcoming to us coming in and having that training. We go out to poll sites with them to show like exactly what changes can be made to improve accessibility. But yeah, so we've been trying to do those kind of more in-depth trainings with the people running our elections, but also more fun kind of engaging community events to try to get our people with disabilities out, registered, and know what their rights are.
So why, you know, are initiatives like this so important for the state?
I think it's really important, again, because we think about our turnout being so low. Here, I think in 2020, the turnout in the disability voting block was in the 30s, whereas the non-disability voting block was closer to 50%. And so, one, we know that the people using government services, the people who rely on the government for healthcare, for all of the extra things that a person with disabilities needs, when the turnout is lower, we're having less of a say in who makes those decisions. So making sure that we're voting for people that understand and empathize with the lived experiences of people with disabilities is so important, because having an advocate in a position like on the voter board or as your mayor or your governor, whoever, having that person not only just empathize, but understand where you're coming from and what barriers you have to deal with as a person with disabilities just to live your life, that's massive. That's where change happens. And so we really encourage people to vote, because who we put in office is going to directly reflect upon what our experience is like using government services like voting.
So with the initiatives that y'all have had over these past few years now with this campaign, how have you seen this campaign directly improving the situation in the state?
So we just started the campaign a little over a year ago. And so this is one of those things where I think it'll be harder to measure the impact. We're hoping to see the disability vote turnout increase in South Carolina. That's our goal. We also want to see the number of people with disabilities registered to vote increased. That is another one of our goals. I know that when I go out and I do these events, I'm helping people register to vote. As a motor voter agency from the government, it's our responsibility to assist people in registering. And we know that when we go out to these events, when we talk to people, when we hear what they're interested in, and we can connect that to voting, people start to register, people start to turn out. So it's really been that kind of one-on-one experiences at these events that we're seeing people really, it clicks, you know, we're like, oh, voting is important. I can have a say in what goes on. And I can definitely register. Some people with disabilities assume that they don't have the right to vote, especially if you have an intellectual or developmental disability. So being able to talk to people, go through their exact situation and talk to them about their rights and see them come out on the other side as an engaged voter, that's awesome. That's the kind of work that we're happy to see. But I would say as far as outcomes, we're going to have to see later out in this year. We've got two major elections in June and November. So we'll just have to wait and see if the campaign worked and we see more people with disabilities voting.
Well, hopefully that is the case then. So we mentioned a little bit earlier about the website that y'all have and some of the resources on there. Can you give us a quick rundown on where exactly individuals can go to find that and what resources are available there?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So go to disabilityrightssc.org and visit our voting page, or you can just Google Disability Rights South Carolina voting, and it should be like the first option. On that site, again, you can find any info you need, from when are the next elections coming up, am I registered, how do I find my polling place, things like that. And I'd say if you have any questions about voting, any part of the process at all, go to that website or call us. We operate a hotline and a TTY line for people who are deaf and use that service. And we have representatives who speak Spanish and can help with our Spanish-speaking neighbors as well.
So for those that hear this and want to try and get involved in any way that they can, what are some of the ways that individuals can volunteer and get involved with the organization and the campaign?
Yeah, so I'd say give us a call or send me an email. All my information, again, is on that site. I'm always happy to chat because we have a lot of really fun things going on across the state. One of our major partnerships is with the Election Protection Coalition. That is an outfit of the NAACP. It's a nonpartisan election monitoring program. If people are interested in monitoring, I would say definitely look into it, because it only requires a few hours of your time on election day, but it can make a huge difference. Our volunteers are the people that are going out into the counties, doing the surveys to evaluate our polling places, and they're the ones that really get us that data that help us make big changes. I also encourage people to consider being a poll manager. In South Carolina, our poll managers are hired on a county-by-county level, but it's such important work, and I know across the state are in kind of a drought for poll workers. I would definitely encourage anybody who's interested to look into that. It is paid. You get a stipend for the day of. It is a long day. Polling places are open from 7 to 7, which means that you have to be available from 6 to 8 pretty much all day. However, we know that when people with disabilities and their advocates are working at the polling places, that people with disabilities face fewer barriers to their vote. Because when you've got somebody who's already an advocate, who already knows what it's like to vote as a person with disabilities, we see the polling places are usually set up better, the signage is better, and people have just a much clearer time getting through the polling place. So definitely look into being a poll manager in your county. If you can also sign up for our newsletter. Again, on our website, if you are interested in learning more about what we do, staying on top of our events, we are out there in the community and trying to be out there even more. So signing up for that newsletter is a great way to stay on top of what we're doing and new opportunities to get involved.
Awesome. Well, is there anything else we haven't touched on that you think is worth adding here?
One other thing we think or we want to let people know about is early voting. Early voting was a new addition a couple of years ago in South Carolina. It's really neat. The first 2 weeks before an election, you now have the option to vote in person. This is a great opportunity for people who have difficulty getting transportation together. It's a great option for people who work, because you have a lot more days to choose from for voting. And it's also great because if you run into any issues, if you run into, say, a photo ID problem or an assistance problem, you can call us and we have time to fix the issue and make sure your vote gets counted. On election day, it can sometimes be a lot harder to solve problems in real time. But if you vote early and face a barrier, we usually have plenty of time to fix it and make sure that your vote still gets counted.
Awesome. Well, thank you again so much for coming on. Hopefully those listening found our conversation this morning very informative and helpful, and I definitely wish you all and your organization the absolute best in your continued efforts in improving the voting situation across the state for those with disabilities.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, definitely. This has been Focus on the Upstate. I'm Matthew Causey, and I'll see you all again next week.
Thank you for listening to Focus on the Upstate with Matthew Causey. If you'd like more information on today's topic, email focusontheupstate@odyssey.com.